I'm Christy and I'm an addict.
Hey, Christy.
I'm not used to speaking from a podium. It was funny when Scott asked me to do this topic for this convention. I responded to him that God must be telling me something because I had just gotten separated. And I'm in the middle of going through a separation right now. And so, you know, it was funny because I was like, healthy relationships or lack thereof, like, what am I going to share on, you know? And it's both. You know, I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for all the relationships that I've encountered in the 6.5 years I've been clean, whether they were good, bad, or indifferent. They've all taught me one lesson, you know, or another. And and I know, you know, I know where my relationship issues came from. You know, I was born into an addict home, and the first two people that were supposed to love and protect me were the two people that hurt me the most. My father physically and sexually abused me. DSS took me out of the house, put me in another addict home, and my mom physically, emotionally, and mentally, and, you know, verbally abused me. And so already from a very young age, I already felt unlovable, and I used to live by, like, if my own parents don't love me, who can ever love me? I'm unlovable. You know, that's why I used. Because, like, when fantasy stopped working and I just wanted to feel love and I just wanted to feel that void, I started using. You know, I picked up when I was 13 and I got clean when I was 35. For 23 years, I was searching for love and acceptance. And it didn't matter what form it came in, whether it was food, sex, drugs, men, it didn't matter. That's all I ever wanted to do my entire life is feel loved. And because of that, you know, I've been through a lot of really unhealthy relationships. And it really wasn't because of them, it's because of me. You know, from the very beginning, like, I lost my virginity at 14 and I thought he loved me because I confused sex with love. I didn't know any different. And when he didn't talk to me anymore, I was devastated. And so I filled that void and I thought, well, if I have sex with another boy, he'll love me. And that didn't work. And I had sex with another boy, hoping that he would love me. And it didn't work. I've had sex with three boys in a night. Maybe they would love me. And it didn't work. And it didn't matter what I did and who I did it with. I still left feeling empty and alone. You know, for a long time, I used to look for people who, you know, abused me, treated me like shit, because I thought that's what love was, because I grew up in a household where there was a lot of abuse. You know, my father abused all the women in his life, and then when I was at my mom, she abused my stepdad. And I would see her, like, go out on binges and use, and my dad chase her. And it didn't matter that we went on, like, trips to Atlantic City and she was cheating on him for 4 days. He still came to get her and bring her home. And so I grew up thinking that a man was going to love me when the more he put up with my shit. And so, you know, I tortured a lot of people. And you know, I've been able to work through that and make some amends in the 6.5 years I've been clean. You know, but I used to sit there, and before a guy would ask me out, I would, I'd be like, are you sure you want to go out with me? You know, I'm like a tornado. You don't see me or hear me coming, but when I touch down, I wreak havoc for days, weeks, years to come, and you're going to have to clean it up, because once I go from you, I'm going to another town. And they would say yes, and I was like, you know, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I would, and I would wreak havoc in their life. You know, I was introduced to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in 2004. It was a guy who brought me to the rooms. He had a couple years clean. I had a couple hours clean. I was dating him by the end of the meeting. You know, I continued to get high. And he married me after a 4-day crack binge because I was going to change. I continued to get high. And after 3 years of being, you know, being together, 2 years of being married, I robbed our home every day for that 3 year straight. He said, I love you, but I'm killing you. And I have to tell you that my sick thinking was, but you signed up for this because I told you from the beginning what you were getting into. You know, because I couldn't see the part that I played, because still I'm a victim. Because again, I feel rejected because you don't love me. And because I've always grown up watching my stepdad put up with my mom's shit. Well, you must not really love me because you only put up with my shit for 3 years. He put up with her shit for 30. And that was my sick thinking. And when he left me, I was mad. I hated Narcotics Anonymous. And I used, you know, because I didn't know what to do, because I came in here bringing all those using behaviors, not building healthy relationships with women, making a man my, you know, higher power, my sponsor. I used his foundation, think I would get clean, and I used. And I used drugs, and I used men. And I went from one man to the next, to the next, to the next. I have been in a relationship since I was 14. I'm 41. They had a different name and face. Some may have had more felonies than others. I don't know. Different felonies. But it was the same relationship over and over. And so, you know, I remember getting in a relationship with a guy. He didn't serve his purpose anymore. I found somebody else who, when I had 30 days clean, he was kicking a dope habit. And when nobody could fix me, I was going to fix him. And after 67 days of being clean, he became my running buddy for 2.5 years. You know, we used to say that we were sick with each other. I remember getting high and shooting each other's blood because we thought, like, we could take each other everywhere we go. So when he went to jail, I was still with him. You know, thank God we were both A positive, because I hear that you can die if you shoot up somebody's blood. It's not the same as yours. I mean, it was just that sick, twisted thinking that I always thought was love. And I remember... I remember he went to jail for 7 months, and when he left, he took me with him, and I sat in a room for 10 days kicking a dope habit because I didn't know the corners he was copping from, and I just sat in a ball, and I thought I was going to die because I didn't know who I was. And I remember, you know, doing one of those cop and bop prayers, like, God, if you just make me feel better for a little bit, like, I'm going to get my life straight. Just help me, you know, just help me. And he, you know, I didn't give God a chance to help me. I found somebody who knew where the dope was, and I continued to get high and left my own devices. I do things I'm not proud of. And you know, through active addiction, you know, as a kid, first time I had sex, I confused it with love. Well, then sex became business. And I was having sex to get what I needed and to get what I wanted. And so, you know, when I got clean this time in 2010, I still had that business mentality, and I couldn't understand that you could actually be intimate with somebody without having sex. I didn't understand that you know, could have an emotional connection with somebody, and when you have that, like, that's like this amazing thing, because I was so used to using people to get what I wanted. I didn't know how to have a healthy relationship. You know, I remember even as a kid, my mom would befriend me. I would open up to her, and she would use it against me. And so I've always been on the defense. I've always had to be in survival mode. And so it's real hard to be in a healthy relationship when you're in survival mode. And so, you know, I got clean in October of 2010. You know, my husband was estranged, and I knew that if I went back with him, I would get high. And I found me another victim who had 5 months, and I had 9 days because it was God's will, and he was in my recovery house the very same moment I was there. And I used him. You know, I used him so that I could feel better and so that I didn't go back to that relationship, because I was so afraid of using drugs that I used him. And it was kind of great for a minute. Like, he had a network. He was managing a recovery house. We were going to meetings. And we were having sex, right? Because I always said I came in numb here and I was tingly down here. And I took care of what I had to take care of. You know, and I got pregnant at 8 months clean. And at this time, I was working a program, and I was doing some things, and I was working on changing, and I was going to college, and, you know, I was doing all these things that people in Narcotics Anonymous told me I could do. And, you know, and I had about 20 months clean, finished all 12 steps, and put my hands on him. Because he was screaming in my face, and it reminded me of all those relationships I had been in all those years before. And when I feel cornered physically or mentally, I react physically. And I put my hands on him. And a year later, I still married him. And we had the same problems we had when I had 20 months clean. Because we'd put everything under a rug. The rug had so much shit under it. And we just acted like it wasn't there. You know, through that marriage, I've never been faithful to anybody I've ever been in a relationship with. I don't know how to be faithful. I don't know how to be committed. And it's really funny because I'm committed to Narcotics Anonymous. Like, you all taught me commitment. I just have issues practicing in all my affairs. And you know, I'm unhappily married, and I'm not willing to do anything about it because it's going to take work. Just like when I got clean. I knew I wanted to be clean, but the moment I admitted I had a problem and I had to get clean and stay clean, like, the work was going to have to begin, and I don't take responsibility for my shit. I don't want to work. I want to reap all the benefits. I don't want to do the work. And that's the way it was in my relationships. I want to reap all the benefits. I want you to do all the work. I want you to maintain this wonderful life for us and just let me live it. And, you know, and that's, it's not how a relationship works. You know, when I was uncomfortable and I didn't want to leave that relationship and somebody said hi on Facebook, I started to say hi back. You know, when somebody flirted, I started to flirt back. You know, when I started feeling some kind of way, I left a meeting and would go to the strip club with my friends and I would take my wedding ring off. And, you know, and my sponsor knew, but I never told him that stuff. Like, I didn't have enough courage to tell anybody I needed help. And I continued for like 2 years doing that very same stuff. And it came to a point where my daughter, who is now 5, was living in a house that was full of tension. There was a lot of screaming, there was a lot of hollering, and the decision was made that we need to split up. You know, I've done a lot of step work, and I've done 3 6 steps. The first 6 step was all about those using behaviors. The second 6 step was the fact that I'm unemotional, I'm unromantic, I'm detached, I'm withdrawn, right? Third one was very similar. And I had to start taking a look at that. And so I remember being on a car ride with him, and I remember him saying to me, you know, complaining about everything I'm not, and me saying, well, why are you with me then? He said, I'm with you because I love you enough. I have hope you'll change. And I said, well, in the 11th step, it says that if you're in a relationship where you're trying to change that person, your relationship is self-will. And that was a pivotal moment for me when I read that in the 11th step. Even though I didn't do anything about it, it was pivotal, and it was always here. And I said to him, well, my hope is that you love yourself enough to know that you deserve love and that you'll do something different. And I knew at that moment the decision I was going to have to make. And I was at the gym with a girlfriend, and I was making up excuses why I can't leave because I'm in grad school and I don't graduate till December, and I don't want to make big changes, right? And she said, well, you have till December because I'm going to hold you accountable now that you shared this with me. 2 days later, I texted her. I said, all right, well, never mind. It's already happening. And it was a decision that we came up with because we didn't want to hate each other. You know, we still had a friendship, and we were hoping that we would at least be able to keep that intact even if our marriage couldn't stay intact. And you know, and he moved out. He moved out March 1st. He got his own place. And we get along better now than we ever got along. We co-parent. And, like, I don't know if my marriage is over. I don't have to know. I want to know because I need certainty. I need to know everything. I want to know. I need to know. And somebody needs to tell me. And I remember he's like, well, you just have to take it slow. I'm thinking, I have three children by three different men. I've been married four times. I'm 41. I don't take shit slow. Like, I've never taken it slow. But I did what I did and always got what I got. And so it was about a two-week period. Last Friday, I was sitting at my sponsor's table, and I got to tell you, I was in physical pain from loneliness because I had acted out looking to fill that void, and I left still feeling empty and lonely, and nothing changed. And then I had that guilt and that shame, and I was compulsively seeking. And I realized I was using against my will clean. And it hurt, like physical, it was like withdrawal. And here's what's weird, like I didn't realize that I would be in this much pain because I'm the one who initiated the separation. I've wanted it for years. I thought life was gonna be awesome. I was gonna do what I want. I'm 41, I'm gonna run the streets. That's not the way life is. And the freedom that I thought would come with it wasn't there. So I had put unrealistic expectations on it, and I forgot that I had done enough work that I was going to have that full awareness when I acted out. And, my sponsor would say, you can do whatever you want as long as you're willing to pay the consequences. I remember when I told her I was getting in this relationship with 9 Days Clean, and at 9 Days Clean, as long as I wasn't going to jail, I didn't care what the consequences were. And then through those 6.5 years of being in that relationship with him, I found out what those consequences were she was talking about, you know. And then I also realized that through me making bad decisions, that like other people pay my consequences, because now I have this little girl who is, who's going through the separation of her parents. Now she doesn't understand. We get along. She thinks it's cool. She thinks she's bougie. She's got 2 houses. She's got extra toys. But I don't know when she's going to come to me and say, how come mommy and daddy don't live together? And how come I have to go to daddy's? And how come I have this? And how come I have that? Like, I don't know when that day is going to come. And and I'm just trying to have faith that God is going to take care of me just like he has every day since I've gotten clean. And it's not even just like in my marriage that I had issues. I had 2 children I drugged through active addiction. Other people raised them. I know I love my children. I can intellectualize it, but I don't feel it. I give them that 2-second NA hug, and then I push them away. And I don't know how to love 2 out of 3 of my children. And I struggle with that. I struggle with it. My 15-year-old son, his dad said he was going to move to Vegas, and everybody's like, how you feel about that? I'm like, I'm good with it. He's ADHD, he's a pain in my ass, let me miss him. And this kid has only ever wanted to be loved. I put my hands on him clean. I've stomped him out. I've told him he was a fucking retard. I remember him telling me something and me telling him to leave me the fuck alone, and I felt wretched, and I'm like, God, who am I? Treated him better getting high. And he even told me, Mom, you were nicer when you got high. And that hurts. I understand the consequences of getting into a relationship with 9 Days Clean. That's why you hear everybody say don't get in a relationship. They're an area of pain. Like, I get that. That's fine. I signed up for that. I'll accept that responsibility. But, struggling to love your own child, or for me, struggling to love my own child, has really plagued me for years. And I can't understand why. And I've shared it in meetings, and people have said, I understand, I felt the same way. And I'm like, well, when does it end? I have a 21-year-old who 2 years ago was at this convention with me, and he was a newcomer who's getting high now, And I love him, but I don't feel love for him. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. It kills me to fake hug my kids. So, the only thing I can do is, keep showing up, keep getting honest, keep sharing with people what's really going on in my life, and keep doing step work and hope it gets better. Hope it gets better. You know, they say when we get better, so does everybody around us. And that's all I know is, like, I want to be better a day at a time. And, you know, I was on my third, eighth step, and I called my sponsor, and I said, I'm going back on the fourth step. I'm going to do relationships in the sex part because I'm missing something. And I finished it on the beach yesterday, and that last question, what does a healthy relationship mean to me? You know, I used to ask, what is God's will? Is this God's will? Is this God's will? Is this God's will? Like, what is it? And I remember asking my sponsor, I'm like, how do you know when it's God's will? She said, I can't answer that. And so when I didn't know what God's will was, I just always knew what it wasn't. And so I decided that when I don't know what a healthy relationship is, I just know what it isn't. And when I looked at that question that way, I started off saying what it's not, and then it turned into what I think it is. And that's what this journey has been for me in relation to healthy relationships. Sorry, lift the mic up. Okay. Yep. Hello. So, you know, here's what I can say. I've learned what a healthy relationship is through the women in my life. My sponsor celebrated 10 years, and I told her the two best decisions I made since October 28th of 2010 was getting clean and picking her as my sponsor. She has been the most consistent relationship in my life. She has taught me what intimacy is. She has taught me what true love is. She has taught me what unconditional love is, because I don't love people unconditionally. I got conditions. I've got stipulations, I've got rules, I've got expectations. I absolutely do, and I'm not going to tell you I don't. I can't. I'd be lying. And I expect you to adhere to all of them. And when you don't, you will know. And you will feel the wrath. And but like through her and through the other women in my life that I allow to, you know, get intimate with me, that I allow in my life and I open up to them, which has always been scary because I'm always afraid if I give you this, you're going to take it and use it against me. So I'll give you this, but I'm going to hold this. And for the first time in my life, I've given everything to that person. And she has taught me what a healthy relationship is. You know, thank God for the women in my life. Thank God for the women in my life who are working on shit. And thank God for the women in my life who aren't working on shit. Because they can share in my insanity. And then I've got the other women to pull me up and say, what are you doing? And that's how it's been lately. I've been getting more of, what are you doing? And it doesn't feel good. You know, I think I'm finally on the other side of that storm. For the first time in 2 months, I feel a sense of peace. You know, I don't feel the need to compulsively seek someone on Facebook. I don't feel the need to test the waters. I mean, I can't get pregnant anymore, so that's a plus. And give out key tags and condoms. You know, but again, like, I didn't get clean to be balled up in pain. I just didn't. And I didn't think at 6.5 years clean that I would be in that position, but I was. And thank God, when I wanted to run to a dude, I went to my sponsor. You know, with my kids, I have the opportunity to raise my daughter like I didn't get with my sons. I tell her every day she's beautiful and she's intelligent and that she's the coolest kid I know and how awesome she is, because those are the things I wanted to hear from my mom. Those are the things that I wanted my mom to say, and I wanted my mom just to tell me that she loved me, and she didn't. You know, and we talk about breaking those cycles, and I know that I can teach her healthy relationships by having a healthy relationship with her father, whether I'm with him or not, having a healthy relationship with the women in my life, because she thinks she's one of us. She puts lipstick on better than any other girl I know at 5 years old, even lip liner. And I get to learn how to have a healthy relationship with her that may translate into my relationships with my sons. You know, I was also saying at my sponsor's anniversary that if you don't do what I want, if you don't act the way I want, if you don't give me what I want, I get rid of you. I've gotten rid of about 5 animals in a year. If you piss on my floor, you gotta go. I have to keep my daughter. Potty training, she pooped on the floor, but I had to keep her. But I, about 2 weeks ago, I bought a dog, right? I paid $1,500 for this half-breed dog because in my mind, if I invest monetarily, I'm going to keep you. And the dog pissed me off so bad after tearing up my kitchen from inside of a cage, I dropped her off to my dad's house, who I take care of, and he's got Parkinson's. He's in a diaper, so it's, you know, everybody's pissing everywhere. And he's really bad because, you know, I've developed a healthy relationship with him because I went from him taking care of me to me taking care of him, and he escaped and almost had to do a silver alert on him. And I told him every time he makes him mad, I'm going to drop off an animal to his house, and when he has a zoo, he'll know why. Because he's like, don't drop that fucking dog here. And I'm like, I spent too much money on this dog. Somebody has to take it, right? Because, again, my unmanageability has got to go somewhere. And so I dropped that dog off. And 2 weeks later, my dad says that my 21-year-old threw the dog or something. I don't know. It barked. You know, I'm like, dogs bark. But when you're using, apparently that annoys you. And, so I brought that dog home, and I thought, how am I ever going to have a healthy relationship if I can't get along with a fucking dog, right? Like that Sandra Bullock movie. I've had this bamboo in my office since September, and I haven't killed it yet, like all my other plants, so I figured, you know, now I'm on a dog, and she pisses me off, and it was funny because I now have a roommate, and I said, so the dog's back. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, because I've decided that I need to reinvest in this relationship with this dog. Because if I can't have a relationship with this dog, I'm not going to be able to have a healthy relationship with anyone else. Because she's only doing what dogs do. She's pissing and shitting because it's my responsibility to teach her how to go outside. But I'm not willing to invest in her because it's work. I don't want to get up at 5 in the morning and take this fucker outside. I don't. Right? I don't. I want to sleep. I want to be selfish. And then yell at her when she does what she does. And I learned I have done that in every relationship. No wonder my marriage didn't work. You know? And so I've reinvested in my dog. I have reinvested in my relationship with my husband in whatever capacity. It will end in two ways, I guess. We either renew our vows or get divorced. Either way, it's going to be good for someone. And really, what I've learned through this is to reinvest in me and learn to sit with me and learn to love me. Because if I can't have a healthy relationship with me, then I don't have a chance with anyone else. And so next year, if you see me, ask me about my dog. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.